Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, November 5th, 2016. We are live on ESPN 1520. Call us at 803-1520 out of Western New York, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. That's 1-800-879-7541. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast from 12 to 1, we're not here. If you're listening live and streaming on our website at Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com, we are here, and our shows are archived on the website along with free economic research from Stone and McCarthy every Saturday morning, posted at 7:05. And today they have all kinds of great stuff about, are we fully employed? Aren't we fully employed? Is the Fed going to raise rates? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But generally, the Fed, who is not supposed to be political, isn't doing anything till after the election. That sounds like politics to me. 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The show is brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, and an RIA. We manage accounts. And what's going on with the markets, Peter?
Well, I was going to talk about our website.
Oh, you could do that.
Because.
Is it down?
It was down.
Grand.
And,
I've been away.
Not our website, but the website that hosts our live streaming and our archive shows.
Oh.
And one of the people at work first found out about it because they have to get information from it once a week, you know, for compliance and everything.
Compliance.
And they said, what happened to the website? And I said, I don't know. So I went to the website that does host our live streaming and archive, and it said, this domain name is now available. So I said, well, there's some kind of problem there.
You mean our domain name?
No, not ours. The one that hosts our website.
Yeah.
Hosts the archive shows and live streaming. And so I contacted the woman who handles it for us, and she said, thank you very much, because something must have gone wrong. We have automatic payments to pay and renew our domain name. You know, like we get a notice every so many years. So she said, I appreciate that because, you know, somebody else could have bought the domain name on her, you know, so anyway, she took care of it. You now can get our live streaming and our archive shows with no problem at all. So right
good.
Now, give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541. Phone lines are all wide open and available right now, so do give us a call.
This
as far as what's going on with the market doesn't like uncertainty, And obviously, as Clinton's chances of winning have diminished day by day, the market kept going down.
You think it's actually really true?
It is very true. And some very well-known people who have been great at predicting say now Trump will win. So very intriguing. But the market doesn't like Trump winning because that would create tremendous uncertainty. And like I said last week, the market likes the devil they know rather than the devil they don't know. And they do know what Hillary would do, and they do know what her policies are. And obviously, you know, Trump would cause uncertainty. The sad part is that, you know, Clinton coming in, there theoretically would be a nice rally the day after, you know, the election. So it would be good for stocks, and you'd be happy about your stocks. The sad part of it is that if she comes in, the country's done. And the only hope for the country in the future is Trump coming in. And as I was talking to a retired Army colonel, he says he agreed with a lot of things I'd said. And he said, yeah, and then he'd come in and drain the swamp. And what does that mean? It means the shadow government would be shaking in their boots as he came after the whole government, both Democrats and Republicans, and shook things up. So, and that's really what the country needs. But anyway, so much for the political thing, but that's the way it is. And, you know, people are expecting that if Clinton did win, there'd be a big rally the day after the election. And if Donald Trump won, there'd be a big decline the day after the election. And basically, that's why the market's been going down 9 days in a row, because the odds for Trump have been improving.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen. Peter, you're sounding a lot more like me every show. I love it.
You like the shadow government, huh?
Anyway, happy Daylight Savings Day. And I'll tell you, it's one day we don't celebrate like a holiday, but we really should. Every other holiday or special day, you have to put in effort or money to make it special. And here is one day a year you get something for free, an extra hour to do with as you please.
I agree with you there. I'm looking forward to that extra hour of sleep, believe me.
Well, you could stay up and then catch right back up on it. So make something useful.
No way. I'm going to enjoy my extra hour. I need it, believe me.
I hear you, man. I've been exhausted, too. But anyway, yeah, market volatility on that with Trump and whatnot. I have to agree with you on that. I think he's going to end up taking the popular vote. Mm-hmm. And whether there's really any shenanigans with the way we do our system with the Electoral College and whatnot, you know, that's a whole different story. But, with Clinton,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, at least with Clinton, you're right. The devil they know. They already know her asking prices on every law, too.
Well, that's true. You know, the other thing, what I was going to say, I didn't realize it. They said that there's a possibility that the electoral vote could end up tied.
Yeah.
And they said if that happened, then Trump would be president. And I don't know how this works, but Kane would be vice president. How does that work? Yeah, I heard somebody say it. I didn't get a chance to look into it. I said, wouldn't that be something?
That would be interesting, really. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So, anyway, what do you guys think with Vixie? Do you think the volatility will drop in a more dramatic fashion than just these little 30, 40-point drops in the market?
Well, you know, right now, there's no question that if Trump won, no question, you know, not you can't. What bothered me, Barron said that.
Remember, do your own research. Yeah, there's always a question.
Yeah, because Barron says it's unanimous that if Trump wins, the market will drop dramatically, you know. And so anyway, I said, but now all of a sudden I have to think about my opinion about what the market would do. But you know, if Trump did win, I think the volatility would go up tremendously.
That'd be a good play for that, because it finally broke down past Dow 18,000. You know what I mean? It was always just running that gauntlet there between 18.2 and 18.5, and you just make money on those floors and ceilings. But you know, every time you get into a little bit of different, uncharted, moving levels territory. What about it? I haven't even paid attention. I've been working. Did Netflix continue to drop down, or did it just kind of hold resistance?
It was holding the last I looked, but I didn't look the last several days. You know, it was kind of holding about where it did the day it gapped up. I don't know, where did it close? And
closed at 122.
Yeah, so it dropped back a little, you know.
All right. Yeah,
there's an article in Barron's this weekend that, you know, now that they've made a deal with their enemy, Comcast, to do a joint venture with a cable box, that they think that might be the beginning of a courting. you know, and a wedding maybe.
With all cable companies? Or
no, no, with Netflix and Comcast joining together. Yeah.
I don't know. Netflix is hemorrhaging money, though. I mean, for what they spend on their original programming compared to, as I mentioned, as I said, too, before, I mean, nobody drops money on cable that's, you know, 40 and under anymore. So as that continues to move on, just because, really, this, after 3 months, you've seen everything that they're going to put on and why you're dropping $100 and some a month for it. But the problem with Netflix, too, is a lot of people in the younger generation share accounts. So, I mean, they're only yielding like a $9 subscription, you know what I mean, per person, which, yes, they have quite a few subscriptions and whatnot, but it does kind of plateau out after a little while. So I don't think, you know, future earnings based on more subscribers.
Well, I know what you say, but what went up dramatically, way more than predicted, it was a substantial increase, was international people signing up, you know, overseas.
Sure.
Yep.
I'm just saying, I mean, I think they were doing a bond offering.
And I can always use the Chinese thing. What if all the Chinese people sign up for Netflix, right?
Yeah, the only problem is that sometimes...
I think they mentioned that in the article.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
Because I read...
I remember that years ago. Everything was always, oh, my God, they'll be selling to the Chinese, and everybody's going to, you know... That was the argument for every company. But anyway.
Yep. And as for the Fed, they have no credibility. I've said this every time they threaten to raise interest rates, they won't. And they will not do it until there's a bond dump in the market, and the only way to really get any appetizing buyers is to raise that yield. So, I mean, we have pretty much gotten rid of all forms of free market capitalism and gone into government central planning, free money, you know what I mean, to the institutions that pay the politicians. It's just a silly, corrupt, nasty game. And I don't know. It's as I said, there was a big thing that I think it was a week or two ago, maybe, that Saudi Arabia and China had dumped. It was almost a third of $1 trillion. It was like $300 billion in U.S. Treasuries.
You know what the big reason for that is? They're trying to defend their currency. Their currency is collapsing, and they're selling off their reserves in order to protect their currency.
Yeah, I don't understand that, though. They've been accumulating, not Saudi Arabia, but China's been a huge accumulator and buyer of precious metals.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they're one. I think they have, like, a dual currency, don't they? It's the yuan and then the renminbi or whatever. Yeah, and isn't the renminbi backed by gold or something?
Well, I don't know how it all works, but I do know that they have drawn down on their reserves to protect their currency.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a big shakeup. I've always said on your show the pendulum swing between east and west every 1,000 years or whatever.
Well, it's hard to say because they're predicting a financial collapse in China. You know,
I saw that
their debt is three times their economy. You know, it's 30 trillion to 10 trillion, I think, or something like that, you know.
And unfortunately, when economies are dipping and dropping and going crazy, that's when countries go crazy. And usually that's when you have to worry about wars and whatnot.
And what they did with a lot of the debt was build all this infrastructure that is for useless, you know, just to keep people.
Ghost cities, you know. I know. Have you ever seen those documentaries on ghost cities?
Right. They just built.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the cities.
How is there? Have you
I've
really
been there? Yeah.
No kidding. Now, how is there ever a homeless problem? I can imagine that.
It's hard to believe with that, isn't it?
It's all over the place.
But, yeah, they spend a lot of money on stuff that's totally non-productive and may never be used, you know.
See, now, I'll probably get criticized for this, but I would love to gather up a bunch of non-productive people in this country and fill the ghost cities in China with them.
Uh-oh, you will get criticized for that.
Yeah, but I can hang up and listen.
Right.
So. I'll do just that. You guys have a great daylight savings.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jason.
Take care.
You are listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctor's Life, Saturday, November 5th at 10:15. Call us, 803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541.
And very easy to give us a call again because the lines are open. So do call us early, you know, because I hate it when everybody calls late and you have to kind of rush through the calls, and you know, you can take a little bit more time when people do give us a call early. So do give us a call early. You know, I did mention the market was down 9 straight days in a row, which is you know, the most in a long, long time. You know, it's been a long time since the market's been down 9 days in a row. You know, the Dow was down 1.5% for the week.
Well, and it had a spread triple bottom, and the S&P, I think, had a quadruple.
Spread. Well, the interesting part is there, you know, the S&P just slightly broke its 200-day moving average. You know, but you know, at least the Dow and the you know, the Nasdaq are still above their 200-day moving averages. So at least they've held above it. But they're all moving, you know, toward their 200-day moving averages. And you know, basically, the more speculative averages were down. Oh, I think the S&P was down almost 2%, down 1.9%. You know, and but the more speculative ones, Nasdaq was down 2.8%, and there was you know, quite a bit of hits in the Nasdaq. The Russell was down 2.04%. So you know, a little bit of nervousness. You know, a little bit of taking off risks. You know, I think I had a client call. And he's been kind of anxious to spend money that he suddenly came into. And, you know, he wanted to buy. And I said, well, I said, it's up to you. I said, I don't know if you want to wait, you know, until the election's over or not. It's a couple more days. You might want to wait and see, you know.
Well, I'm telling people to wait.
So, yeah, you may miss a big rally, you know, but who knows what you're going to have. So it's better to just sit back, you know, and watch.
There'll always be another stock or another index to buy.
Yeah, you can just build your watch list. You should be building a watch list as a number of items have come down. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of the healthcare stocks have continued to be under pressure, and a lot of them have been breaking down. Healthcare, biotech's been breaking down, but you know, there are going to be winners in that biotech area, so you could.
They were up yesterday at the end of the day.
Yeah, at the end.
Ones I follow.
Well, the market had a little bit of a bounce on Friday. Why? I don't know. You know, I guess I could use the argument it was oversold. I like to use that as an argument. Market's oversold, due for a bounce, you know. So, you know, there was a little bit of bounce in the market. You know, surprisingly, they were buying some things up a little bit, you know, on Friday. And I think it was just an oversold bounce and a lot of issues that you saw on Friday. But, you know, what it's coming down to.
Mr. Myers turned.
Yeah, I mean.
Off the bottom.
Well, turned off the bottom. It ran up to 52, but what a close at 50 or what? You know, I think it went back down again.
51.
You know, 51. So it's trying the bottom in there. Yep.
Good morning, Victor.
Hey, good morning, guys. How am I coming in? Pretty good?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Very good. Where are you? Tahiti?
I'm going to pick my mom up, take her out to breakfast.
Nice.
My wife let me out of the house, so I'm going to pick my wife. Yeah, ha, 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 right?
Right.
the deal, two quick points I want to bring up, and then I'll let somebody else call. The point number one, AII website, Willard, you got to go on it. Rotblut, our boy, he talks about his own 403B, and he's, believe it or not, I met the guy's probably early 40s. Here's what his distribution is. He put, not the amounts, obviously, how much he's got in it, but the percentages?
Yeah.
He's 20% in five things. He's 20% in fighters. He's 20% on small cap value U.S. Tax managed. Regular, because it's in his 403.
Right, right.
He's 20% international small cap. He's in 20% intermediate bonds, and he's 20% in Vanguard REIT. 20, 20, 20, 20. He basically rebalances once a year, and that's his. He put it right out there. Very interesting. A little on the aggressive side for me. I'm a little older than that, but interesting that he would put it on, and he likes the small cap. Obviously, he's 20%.
Well, a lot of money can be made there when you hit them right.
Right, right.
But they're a little more volatile, as we know.
Well, it's like anything. The small caps in the long run have outperformed. You know, in the long run. So if you keep the small caps in a portfolio for a long time, you'll do very well.
Right, small cap value. He made a point, but he has a nice article with it actually. And
I'll read it.
So yeah, that's a great site. That's a great organization. They look out, obviously, for their investors like you do. Now, point number two, question. Somebody putting new money into the market now. Say somebody wants to put in $50,000, okay? You're either going to put it in intermediate treasuries, okay, going out, right? Why would somebody do that now as opposed to leaving the money in cash? If you get a trickle up in interest rates, you know, going forward, net 3 years from now, are you going to be in the hole or are you going to be positive? And if you're positive, you're going to be positive probably pennies, correct? So why take a chance with new money into any type of interest sensitive investor? Why just not keep it in cash? Is it worth the risk?
Well, maybe the answer is you never know. All right. You know,
if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, right, everyone's going to go and buy treasuries for security, regardless of what the Fed does. And because there's more demand than supply, the price of the treasury will go up, the yield will drop, right?
And look how many years people kept saying, don't buy bonds, you know, interest rates are going to go up. How many years was that? You know, 4 years? You know? And so you never know. So if you're a diversified person, putting a little in something is a way of hedging your bets. You know.
Is it a big bang if just interest rates trickle up over the next 5 years, a quarter point every, say, 8 months? I mean, the principal on your fund, the amount of appreciation, I would think would be outweighed with the. The principal's going to go down, even though the interest rates are going up. That was my point.
Well, I agree. Under the assumption that interest rates will go up, you have an argument. But how can you prove to me that that's a definite?
Okay, say they stay level.
Everybody goes into a panic, all right, and the market drops and drops and drops and drops, you might make 20-30% on treasuries, you know.
So what your point is you would need something like a panic for you to really make good money as opposed to jump change, right?
Assuming that interest rates, you know, you think interest rates are going to go up, all right?
I'm going by the trickle up scenario. Look, nothing major, no catastrophes.
You're making that under that assumption. Yeah, you're probably right. You know, but why is that a good assumption? If you use that assumption, I hear what you're saying. But I'm saying we don't know. We don't know.
Okay. That's fair enough. Two charts I want you to look at. First one is Morgan Stanley, please.
Morgan Stanley, MS.
Built some 31s.
Let's take a look there.
Going out a month. I like them. Premium was pretty good, believe it or not.
I mean, this is, you know, one of the beneficiaries of interest rates going up, okay? And looking at the chart, it's running right up to resistance right now. At what price is that? There's a big line.
35.
35, right?
Yeah, so, closed at 32.78. So.
And what are you doing? Selling 31 puts is what you were saying?
No, 31s. Yeah. Going out 3 weeks.
Should be all right.
Yeah, that looks reasonable, you know.
And then the second play was BBT. I sold the 37s on Monday.
All right, 36, sold the 37 puts on BBT. Okay.
And I'm only going out November 18th on both of them.
Close to 38 and a quarter.
37. I like the support at 37.
Let me refine the chart just to. Yeah. I like that, Peter.
Yeah, move.
It's a bullish chart, which is what you want when you're selling puts, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I like the with the moving averages and the actual support. I sell them at support, and I could always roll down on that one.
You're right at the 50-day. I think you're fine.
And the last one is COP was take. I sold the 42.50 call. I'm sorry. Yeah, the 42.50 call, and it got taken away from me. And I got taken away from me. I just resold the 42 put. So I'll get it back 50 cents cheaper, make some premium. I got the stock back in my hand. 42. If it doesn't go back to 42, I win. If it goes to 42, I'll own it and sell an immediate call on it.
Yeah, you're basically playing a little trading range that it's in right now. You know, okay.
You like that? You like that chart?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the way you're playing it, yes.
I looked at it to buy for all the managed accounts, and I only bought it for one big account we handle. I think it's a great company.
But he's playing it with the short-term options.
He's playing
trade.
It very short, I know.
And you're playing it correctly for the current trading range.
Would you
that
sell
it's
the 42s?
You
know?
too. I got it taken away from me at $42.50.
Yeah.
Collector's premium on the call, and then I waited a few days, and then I sold the 42.50 taken away. I sold the 42. So if I get it 50 cents cheaper, I collect it on the upside on the call.
And you're and you're selling the put now, right?
And I'll take it at 42, and if I let you like it, roll down if I don't like it.
Yeah,
it should be good.
It's a, I mean, it's a good strategy for the current trading range it's in. Yeah.
Hey guys, good show. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Take care, Victor. Well, it looks like there's support at 42.5. You should be all right.
Well,
but you're close.
You never know. He's trading. You know, he has a good strategy and a good plan, which a lot of people don't have for the particular trading range that the stock is in. You know, no question about it. So. The plan makes sense with the way the stock has been trading. Yeah. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541.
We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Brought to you live by Saperston Asset Management and rebroadcast from 12 to 1 Saturday nights on ESPN 1520 and live and streaming on our website, we hope, at S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N, saperston.com, and archived. And we are sponsored by Saperston Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. Do your own research, of course. Call us, but then, you know, do a little more research. And in terms of advice, sit back and wait for the election, my opinion. That's my research. It's hard to take a position not knowing what might happen politically.
Yeah, it's only a couple of days. It's not like you're sitting there the rest of your life. I mean, you're just sitting there a couple of days, and then you can try to decide what to do after that. It could be very interesting. You know, Wednesday will be a very interesting day in the market, to say the least. So right now, phone lines are still wide open. 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Article in Barron's this weekend says, take a look at REITs. Hard to believe. You know.
I was just thinking that.
But only certain ones, they mention, you know, because you have to be very careful. And one. The article really assesses the REITs by looking at their public trading value that is now in the market versus what their private valuation should be. And they mention a couple of items to take a look at. You know, nothing that I would jump out and run and buy tomorrow, you know, but they, based on the public to private market value, they like Boston Properties is one of them.
A big company.
And Simon Properties, big ones.
Big company.
You know, no questions about it, you know. And he said Boston Properties, according to one analyst, at 154 versus, which is its private value, is 154. And its recent stock market price is 115. So he says it's trading way under its private market
value.
What's
that, value. BXP?
BXP is Boston Property.
My God, how did I pull that out?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And the Vanguard REIT Index is VNQ, Victor Nancy Quack, and that's sitting on the trend line.
Yeah, they mentioned the Vanguard REIT, and you know, just items to keep an eye on. You know, see whether they provide an opportune time if it makes sense to even buy them. You know, just because these people like them doesn't mean anything. They mentioned public storage and what is that one? PS something?
PSA, you know, PSA hasn't done so well.
Yeah, but they mentioned that it's down from a peak of 277 to 204, You know, and they said they kind of like that one, you know. But that one's more based on they said they think there's still a lot of room to grow in the public storage market. So anyway, a couple of ideas in the Barron's thing. You know, once again, I don't live and die by Barron's, never will.
You talk about them all the time.
Well, because, you know, you're looking for ideas there. I also talk about them because we have nothing else to talk about.
So. Uh-huh.
I wouldn't even talk about Barron's if people would call.
And so. What about the election? Aren't you allowed to go to politics once because we're so close to the election?
Why would I want to even talk about it? You know, I've stated my opinion.
Ah.
Clinton's good for stocks and Trump is good for the country. You know, yeah. You know, the only hope for America is Trump. You know, so otherwise you get more of the swamp that we've had for decades and decades, you know, so.
I've heard a lot of people say the swamp is good.
Yeah, the swamp is good, yeah. But anyway, I won't go into that. You know, people don't realize how sick this country is underneath the surface, to say the least. So, you know, just go merrily on their way and go out to work and play around with their smartphones, you know, and all this other junk, Snapchat and Instagram and Tweety.
I don't understand what Snapchat, you know, and Instagram is. Is it
I have no idea.
Photographs?
I don't want to know what they are. I could care less, you know, but anyway.
803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. Call us. Give us your opinion on the markets and the election.
And I remember, you know, somebody had asked what we thought, you know, if Hillary came in, what sectors you should be in and what sectors you should be in if Trump came in. But there's a person who writes a newsletter. She provides a number of different services, Hillary Kramer, and she had an article out recently called Nonpartisan Sectors Ready to Move. And I don't know why she started out with healthcare. She says, yeah, I know that, you know, if Clinton comes in, you know, there's going to be further pressure on the healthcare stocks. But she says that there's so many opportunities developing because of this, because a number of things that are being developed now, all the latest new innovations out there and the new drugs and so forth and so on, that she thinks eventually there will be attractive valuations. And he said, obviously, if Trump came in, it would be a big rally for the biotech sector, you know, but Clinton could be creating an opportunity for the biotech sector, not to jump in immediately, but a lot of these stocks that are getting bashed have tremendous prospects out in the future. I guess one thing you know she liked too was aerospace and defense, even though Clinton has heavily promoted budget cuts. But she doesn't think that really could happen under the current atmosphere that's out there. And we know that Trump has basically talked about strengthening the military. So obviously that would help aerospace and defense. And one that both candidates agree on is infrastructure. You know, to look at stocks in the infrastructure
sector. Is that Caterpillar?
Well, I don't know why. You know, there's a lot of different infrastructure companies out there. You know, and you know, I guess Caterpillar is considered one of them, you know.
And pays a nice div.
But there's a lot of companies in the infrastructure area that do construction and, you know, building and that type of thing. And she still believes look at leaders in technology. She doesn't think those areas that are innovative out there in technology are going to be hurt. She likes cloud computing, you know, out there. And matter of fact, some cloud computing stocks have continued to do well in this market, even though, you know, the market's been pulling back and a number of areas have sold off. And I remember a few weeks ago somebody talked about robotics and she's
me,
very,
I talked about
yeah,
it.
And she's very big on automation and robotics. And somebody called up and said that they wanted to diversify.
I have a list of robotics stocks.
Some robotic automation and robotic stocks. So much. That's Hillary Kramer, not from us, but some ideas to look at, some sectors to look at.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctor is live. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Can I get your take on Under Armour, UA?
UA.
Well, Motley Fool's like it.
At what price?
Well, they liked it quite a while ago,
yeah,
and they've been continually recommending it in the 45 range. Of course, it's at 30.
It looks 30, terrible.
31. The chart looks just horrific. You're at the bottom of the trading range, but that doesn't mean the bottom can't go lower.
I mean, this is like
price objective 18 on point and figure.
Yeah, I mean, this is like catching a falling knife, a bottom fisher. Yeah.
You broke support at 36, and then you broke the final support at 33.
Do you own it? You're looking to buy it, or?
Yeah, I bought it a few months ago. You know, when it was, I'm hearing all this stuff on TV about Under Armour, and I'm like, I got to get in. You know, I got to get in now. You know, and irrational exuberance. That was me.
I was told that all of the kids in school, my grandkids, and they're 8 years old in that area. They're all they wear is Under Armour stuff. That's all they want.
Jeez.
And for Christmas, so it's a big item. But okay, maybe the Chinese are making knockoffs. I don't know.
I'm thinking maybe buy some more here to help lower my cost. I don't know.
Well, if you buy some more here.
Would it be better just to sell it off and then wait 30 days and rebuy it, or just what?
Well, first of all, if you buy it here, then what are you going to do if it drops another 20% or 30%? You're going to buy it? You're going to buy it?
Cry?
No, are you going to buy some more again? I don't know how many shares you have initially, in it. But if you're trying to catch a bottom, you might buy a little, and then say, hey, if it drops another 30%, I'm going to buy another little, so that you don't overbuild the position,
The other thing you can do is just buy the same position, sell the high cost in 31 days for your tax loss. Assuming you own it personally and not in an IRA, right?
No, personally, I own it.
Yeah.
But, these type of things, when they're falling like that, you could be right. Tomorrow the thing could just turn right around, but you never know.
Right.
So, and also when it's falling like that, it could fall a lot more. So, but if you like the company.
And understand, you're not the first person that bought Under Armour too high. And therefore, as we're coming into November, you're going to have a lot of tax loss selling.
Okay.
And you're going to have to get through that for everybody that's doing that, so you don't really expect it to recover until next year when the selling
after
pressure.
After the first of the year, and maybe Christmas sales is really good and they go up or something like that?
Well, everybody that bought it personally in the $40 range wants a tax loss.
Yeah, and once again, too, the whole picture on all of this could change after the election, right?
The wonderful election.
Yeah, depending on who wins, the picture, could change. Once again, if everybody's right, and was an idea I agreed on, that if Trump won, at least for the market, it would hit, and you'd probably see Under Armour and everything else plunge further, right?
Okay.
So you certainly don't want to jump in before the election, okay?
Okay.
Right. And then if Clinton won, yeah, you might have a big rally in Under Armour and you'd say, that Pete Greco's an idiot, But anyway.
Never say that.
No,
never
well.
Say that. You're
right.
Always giving me good tips. So.
Yeah. But, how long ago did you buy this?
Back in, I think it was July.
All right. So in July, where was this trading then? Let's see. Back
it was I bought it at 46.61.
Okay. Uh-huh. So when everybody else was in, you felt you had to be.
How come that chart doesn't look like?
And that was me.
Here we go. Here's the regular chart.
Yeah, let me look at the regular chart. So you bought at 46.
Yeah, and there's May. And July, the high was 44. So you must have bought maybe in May.
So you must have bought as it broke out.
Yeah.
And all the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that looked good. Okay. Now the breakout looked good,
but the stop point was 41.
Yeah, and also one thing you always want to watch out for is when a stock has a breakout and then it pulls all the way back to below where it broke out. You have to start saying, "Uh-oh, maybe that was a false breakout and I'm in trouble."
Okay.
So anyway, that's hindsight.
But, when you're buying a stock that's volatile, don't buy it without a logical stop point.
Okay.
So
right,
you
guys,
can lose a little,
right,
but not a lot.
We'll see what happens left, eh? We'll see what happens, and then you can make a plan after that, what you want to do. And give us a call again.
You know, either that or just sit home and cry, one or the other.
Sometimes that's the best. Get it out of your system, right?
There you go.
Right.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Take care. Thanks for the call. Okay, phone lines are again wide open. 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll free 800-879-7541.
For the Dollar Doctors.
Yeah, and looking, you know, the market was down. The S&P was down 1.9% last week. What groups were down less? Of the major sectors in the S&P, they were all down. But those sectors that were down less were basic materials, the industrials, believe it or not, the utilities, consumer services.
Well, you know, interest rates came down a little.
Yeah. So
utilities.
So, that's why, you know, utilities would have bounced up a bit, you know. And, you know, the weakest sectors last week were technology, oil and gas. But surprisingly, telecommunications were one of the bottom sectors in the S&P and actually fell more than the S&P last week. Mm. So it went to show that, you know, trying to predict, you know, even if usually with interest rates coming down, you would expect the dividend-paying telecom stocks to go up, right? But
you would.
Or not fall as much anyway, not fall as much. And they actually fell down more than the S&P. And it's interesting that with all of the drop-off in the market, you know, still the leading sector out there of the 14 major sectors, you know, that are followed with, you know, by one service, and they follow them with the ETFs, is still semiconductors, you know. And, you know, semiconductors did fall off. They were up like 28.8 last week. And
yeah,
this week, 26.5, but still very strong for the year. So still an area to consider, you know, if this market stabilizes and things look somewhat different after the election, you know. Some semiconductor stocks could be an interesting place to be. Not all, but definitely some of them could be a place to be. And if you, you know, analyze them carefully, and as I always tell people, pull up a chart. You know, you don't have to know even how to read a chart. Just look at it. I think a little 10-year-old could look at a chart and tell you whether it's going up or it's going down.
Well, I'm reading a Fibonacci and book, and she said, get your four-year-old out and have them look at the chart. If there's any question and you don't understand the direction of the price movement, and they'll tell you whether it's going up or going down, bullish or bearish.
See, because they don't have all preconceived notions in their head. They don't have all these theories in their head. You know, we look at a chart and we go, yeah, but that's over there. This is down here. And then this did this and this. And,
right.
And a little four-year-old would go, going up. Going down, you know.
And she said, when you're going up, you play things a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and you try to buy on a pullback, and when they're going down, you try to sell on a
rally
that's similar to previous rallies.
Yep.
So even though I don't buy into all the Fibonacci stuff because that's too short term for us, there's something to be learned.
No question about it. Well, really what it teaches you to learn is try to look at things with a blank mind. Don't clutter yourself. It's like even in technical analysis, there must be 1,000 indicators out there.
Right.
I've never counted them all. And if you know all of them and you try to use all of them, you can never make a decision. You know, so it's very hard to make a decision. I guess years ago there was some kind of study out there that if you had too many things or variables in your decision making, it's almost impossible to make a good decision. And you know, keep it simple, stupid is the major word for the day. You know, try to keep it as simple as possible. Find one or two things that, you know, you understand how they work, why they don't work, when they don't work, that type of thing. Or find one or two things that work for you and stick with them. You know, don't keep jumping around all over the place.
I thought of immediately the General Mills chart, which has not done well lately. But over a 10-year period, it's been going up.
Yeah, I remember these clients came in the office many years ago, and they've been holding the stock. They said, oh, we've never done anything with it. Well, I said, well, you made a good move. You kept it the whole long time, you know, and you made a lot of money just letting General Mills sit there. You know, it's come up, what, over 10 years or whatever?
It's come from 18 to
what, 60, right? You know,
yeah.
So it's, you know,
15.
They were 15, so, you know, made a heck of a move in all those years. And
every year.
They did very well, but not paying much attention to it. You know, sometimes if you watch your stuff too much, you know, you're watching it every hour, every day, you know, you can make a lot of bad decisions, you know, no question about it. And certainly with all the news background, it can force you to make moves that you really shouldn't make. So, you know, try to boil things down to something very simple to use and an approach and a plan.
And wouldn't
whatever,
people
you know?
Eat Wheaties no matter who got in?
Well, they would.
As
but,
a president?
Yeah, but whether
just asking.
But whether the company will make money, what if grain prices went sky high and now it cost you $10 a box? You know, I think, first of all, I wouldn't buy a box of cereal now either, you know, because I can't believe the price of cereal. But anyway, but
I told my wife a week ago, never again will I eat it. Never.
Yep. But people do. You're right. But you know, but there are conditions which the you know, the companies like General Mills might not make money all of a sudden. They might get squeezed, you know, by the input costs and the inability to pass along the prices at some point. I guarantee you at some point, you know, people would cut down dramatically the buying of cereal, you know, no question about it. So
yeah, they sell ice cream, too.
Yeah, do they? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that helps to diversify. It's a lot like the Pepsi and Coca-Cola thing, because Pepsi's always done so well because they got all the snack business, you know. And that's really been the big driver of Pepsi's business, where Coca-Cola was never diversified like that, you know, over all the years. So anyway, a lot of ideas we're talking about. You can give us a call, talk about your stock, about the market in general, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. We're toll-free, 800-879-7541. And as you can tell, the lines are still wide open.
If you look at the chart of the 10-year interest rates, it really has started to come back down again.
Yeah, they haven't risen dramatically, and it's tough to tell. We always talk about if interest rates are rising. You know, you're talking about short-term rates. Usually when short-term rates went up, long-term rates would go up. But there are conditions where it gets squeezed, you know, and that spread narrows, you know, that the short-term rate goes up and the long-term rate doesn't go up as much or comes down. So you can't always predict which way it's going to go.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctor, Saturday, November 5th. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Willard.
How are we?
Long-time listener, so I appreciate everything you guys talk about.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Wanted to ask you a couple questions today. First, I've heard there's a parallel between Brexit and Trump, where a lot of the things have gone certain ways, and they follow very similar patterns. And Peter, as you were saying earlier about the market, if Trump wins, there's a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened with Brexit, if I recall, where once Brexit took, you know, we had that, and then the market was very unstable. It dropped a lot. And I'm thinking, if that happens with Trump, gee, maybe we could do you think that could happen again? You know, a very similar parallel there, like you said with that?
No, it's a possibility. You know, to me, there'll be a couple of things that are kind of hard to predict, okay? But you know, everything's hard to predict. But anyway, so say it had a big drop-off if Trump won, right? Now, would that be longer lasting than Brexit? It could be. Right. Because, you know, the worry over that may last longer than it did, you know, with Brexit, in terms of people worrying about, because people started saying, well, you know, maybe this isn't that big a deal and so forth. The other thing is, you know, if Trump won and he started coming out with stuff right away that would calm the markets down, you know, then it might not last that long. So it depends what he would say right after the election, too, about how long that would last, you know.
Right.
I always worry about him opening his mouth.
Well, you know, the speaking of opening his mouth, but just the issues in general on the economy, Trump and Hillary have just such total, come from total 100% opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
Trump wants to bring back the jobs from those other countries that have all stolen our jobs and the companies that have gone elsewhere. And in the long run, don't you think that would have if he brought those companies back and all those jobs back, wouldn't that have a stronger effect on the market?
Well, it could, okay? You know, let's look at it this way, okay? First of all, a lot of us The people who lost jobs obviously got hurt by the jobs going overseas, okay? A lot of us benefited by the low costs of items that you now buy from overseas, you know? So trying to balance all of that out is a tough one to figure out, you know? But I think that it would help, you know, the country, depending on, you know, if you brought those jobs back and you had those jobs at reasonable cost levels and that type of thing, it would benefit it, you know.
Right.
If you were back up to it, I'm sure some auto workers or steel workers would get upset at me. But, you know, some of that pay, and some of it was justified. If you were a steel worker, you know, you know, that was a ridiculous job. You know, I talked to people who used to work in the steel
mills. I worked in the steel plant.
Yeah, right. And
dangerous as hell.
Very dangerous, right? But
and you know, exhausting.
And I'd probably get auto workers mad. But you're working on the assembly line, and you're making a god awful amount of money, and you're getting a god awful amount of benefits and everything. And that's one of the things that killed the auto industry. You know, so anyway, you know, trying to put all that together and say if you brought it back and you had reasonable pay and that type of thing, it might in the end be a net plus. You know.
Yeah, but as far as the jobs go, if you're carriers leaving, went to Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Nabisco, Ford, I mean those are thousands and thousands of jobs.
Oh, no question about it. You know, there's no question about it. And also, what people have seen, like say for example in the IT industry, where a lot of IT jobs went overseas, say to India, you know, for one place. Those jobs are starting to come back on their own because the pay started going up so much over there, they said it wasn't worth it anymore.
Right. Gotcha.
So in the end, what happens is, you know, it's a long, long-term thing. But in the long run, what finally happens is everything adjusts, you know, because now with so many jobs overseas, the pay goes up over there.
It's
and
40
after a
years
while,
later.
Yeah,
though.
It's a long time. You know, it's a long time.
Our biggest trading partners are Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
and that's what happened with Brexit. The market kind of dropped a lot. It was
mm-hmm.
very volatile. But then it kind of settled out. Everybody kind of saw
it. Yeah, because they decided it wasn't quite the big deal, you know, that everybody made it to be the cataclysmic event, you know. The fear was worse than the reality, really, you know, when everybody settled down, you know, and they started looking at it and say, well, you know, it's going to take several years for them to pull out. So other things have to happen, that type of thing, you know. So it depends on how they're going to judge. If Trump wins, are they going to say, well, you know, this and that and the other thing, and it's going to moderate the fear, you know, or the uncertainty, you know.
All right. Well, once again, I appreciate all your help.
Okay.
Everything you guys say. In fact, I'm keeping a little powder dry.
Good.
And what's on your list? What are you looking at?
You know, I usually buy a lot of let's see. I don't have the time to watch stocks all
mm-hmm.
the time. It's very you know, I know you guys put a lot of time into it every day. So, you know, I'm mostly doing mutual funds,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the sectors I hit are, I'm really big into biotechnology. I think over the long term, I've really done well with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I have?
Yeah, the IBB looks good.
But with the mutual funds, you have a little more stability. They don't fluctuate as much as the stock.
It's an individual stock, right? Yeah, no.
Right.
There's also, I think, is it T. Rowe Price Science and Technology? Yeah.
There's a lot of, and plus there's a lot of ETFs. I don't know if you buy ETFs, but, you know sector ETFs or index ETFs, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You got the IBB for biotech.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like I said, I'm putting a little powder dry.
Well, that's good. Good idea. You know, even if you miss a big rally, so what? You know, there's plenty of opportunities around. You know, so why take the chance? You know, going into the election, I wouldn't do it. You know?
Right. Right. Okay. And I just gotta say, if there are any undecided voters out there, they you gotta look at the issues and what are the candidates gonna do for you, for me, for Peter, for mm-hmm. Willard. And you look at the issues, both candidates are total opposites on each issue. And if you look at those, you know, I think you can make up your mind when you look at which candidate stands on what issue and how they're going to help you. And I think I think you're really going to see that Trump will be on most of your sides on those issues. You look at the border, one candidate wants to secure the border. The other candidate wants an open border. The debt, the country is $21 trillion in debt, and the current administration and Hillary are just going to kind of keep doing the same thing. Trump wants
there you
to,
go.
Wants to reduce that.
There you go.
I don't know. I think Trump has to do it, too, to get to do what he wants. But.
Yeah, well, my big thing is, you should, if you're happy with the way things have gone, you know, then what can I tell you? You know, if you think this country's on the right path, I don't know. But I don't think it's on the right path. I'm very frightened for where the country's headed. And if you want any chance of change, the only hope you have is Trump, all right? The only hope. Well, whether he will change anything, I don't know.
I think you get it.
But it's the only hope you have, the only hope. Yep.
But I don't know that it's positive.
Yep. Well, it's hard to say.
I think it's too complicated for any one person to really figure out.
Well, somebody's got to do it, or this country's done. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Okay. Well, guys, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks.
Yep.
Well, here we are. You have been listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. We are live every Saturday at 10:05 and rebroadcast from 10 to 11 Saturday nights and on our website, saperston.com, live and streaming and archived. And as we always say, keep a little powder dry. Good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.